altid sjovt at møde nye mennesker. Sådan var det også, da jeg mødtes med Michael Umoke. Vi mødtes i Ballerup, hvor han nu bor, men han er oprindeligt født og opvokset i Kenya. Han er teatermand, teaterleder og teaterinstruktør. Og jeg har bedt ham fortælle om, hvad New Nordic Voices er. Og det første, man lægger mærke til med Michael, det er hans nærvær. Jeg fik et meget stort kram af ham. Og i vores samtale, der kommer vi så også til at tale om den der måde at møde nye ting på. Måden at møde nye mennesker på. Og han fortalte om sig selv, at han var en people's person. Altså på samme måde som nogen, de er kattemennesker og andre hundemennesker. Så er han sådan et menneske-menneske. Her er samtalen med Michael.
Welcome, Michael. It's nice to be back in Ballerup.
Yeah.
We met a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
We didn't know each other beforehand. A friend of mine recommended that I should get in touch with you, and so I did.
Yeah.
And so we met here. Yeah. You are the artistic director of New Nordic Voices. Last year you began on a big journey, you might say, a big project. It lasts until 2021. It's dealing with a performance call for colored girls. Mm. What is New Nordic Voices?
Well, New Nordic Voices is, first of all, is a background story to it. What we did was in 2015, I established a theatre company in Denmark called ACT. Essentially, it's the acronym for Afro-Cosmopolite Thespians. And within the first 2 years, we put up two productions, which was Merchant of Venice, adapted as Merchant of Copenhagen, the subsequent performance of An Enemy of the People by Emmy Gibson, the other middle version. So the very second production, I should say, kind of used actors from Norway and Sweden and Denmark, but from diverse ethnicities. And then after I saw the success of that, I thought, you know what, surely there are all these quote-unquote people of different cultures, rather referred to as immigrants, or whichever way you refer to them, as expatriates or refugees, human beings, who are here and they need an outlet of expression and they're interested in performance art, specifically theatre, because that's my area of interest. So I thought and I said that, okay, given that we all come from different cultures within global cultures, which are equally, I would say, they have their own canons. They have their own theatre playwrights, canons and directors and so on and so forth. How then to introduce that, given that we are new here in the Nordic region, how do you introduce that to the Nordic audience? And that's how I came up with the concept of New Nordic Voices, with the intention of introducing the works of playwrights from the Global South, but it is impossible to introduce it to the Nordic audience, in my estimation, unless you come from a standpoint of what they understand best, which is their Nordic classics, respectively, whether it's in Norway, you have Ibsen, whether it's in Sweden, you have Strindberg, in Denmark, you have many others, but specifically Karin Blixen, you know, and in Finland, Mina Kant, and to use that, the Global South. So, for example, for Colored Girls, which you just mentioned, that is a play by a playwright, Ntozake Shange, who's an African-American, and she was dealing with a lot of black women's issues, essentially, but predominantly women issues in the 70s in America. At the same time, in Finland, the 20th century, I would say, you have 19th century, I should say, you have Mina Kant, who is a female playwright, who's dealing with issues of her time. So when you take these two playwrights and you examine their works, you know, their context, and you find out that there isn't so much of a difference between the humanity of the different people, maybe their cultures are different, but they're dealing with the same issues. So how do you merge this Nordic classics with global classics to tell a new story, but also not without disregarding the...
When you say New Nordic Voices, it is as if you want to introduce something new. Mm. Well, what is the new?
What is the new? I mean, the new, without doubt, is that you have an influx of people from different backgrounds. Myself, I've been here now for, I think, 8 years.
And you're from Kenya yourself?
Originally, yes, I'm from Kenya. And I live here and I consider myself now Danish. And by the same time, I feel very new. I feel I'm still learning society. I feel the society is still learning about me. And I feel kind of a not responsibility, I feel an urge that my existence is not somehow put into oblivion or put into complete dismissal in the attempt of becoming Danish or a Nordic person. I come with my own things. But at the same time, so that is new. I mean, I have a background, I have a culture that is new in this area. But at the same time, the area is new to me. So what is new Nordic Voices? Essentially, is people of different backgrounds who have found themselves in Denmark. It could be the first generation, the second generation, however you want to scale it. But they don't necessarily have the deep cultural setting that is rooted in this region. So that is new, you know, where there's a discussion about immigrants, they're new, the discussion about the expatriates, they're new, immigrants are new, all of this, they're new in that sense. But how do they encounter then their indigenous population? That encounter between the people of different backgrounds and the existing generations, I should say, of the host country, creates what I like to call a third space. It's a hybrid. It's an intercultural hybrid that creates a third space. And that third space, that encounter of exchange of thought, of intention, of artistic creativity, because each has got something. That third space is what I call new Nordic Voices. That's how I say it.
And I guess on one hand you speak about a theater cooperation, but on the other hand, I know you got kids,
yeah.
So you're talking about kids as well, aren't you?
Absolutely,
because
yeah.
Culture is mixing, and I know you have a Polish,
yeah.
Polish wife,
yeah.
And you live in Ballerup,
yeah.
And you're from Kenya,
yeah.
And now you're dealing with theatre from, well, you call it the global South,
yeah.
And that's Africa and that's Caribbean,
yeah.
And at the same time you're dealing with Sweden and Norway and. Denmark and Finland, Henry Ibsen.
Yeah.
I saw on the net that you were staging a production with in Folkefjellene.
Yes.
Henry Ibsen. And of course it caught my eye that when I saw the cast, because the cast members was all different kind of colors.
Yeah.
It amazed me. Mm. And I guess so it will for the audience. Mm. What do you think about this shaking the audience? Are you moving them? Are you kicking them? Or are you... caressing them, or what is your what do you do?
Well, I mean, my first premise is to tell a story. Before I think of the audience, I think of the story that I want to tell, and if it happens to be that it breaks their legs, then so be it. If it caresses them, every audience for me is different. It depends on how it lands on them, you know, how it lands on them. I'm unable to tailor a production just to caress the audience. I want to move them. I want to give them a new perspective. I want to challenge them, and I hope they challenge me.
So in other words, you're saying your job is to move them, and whether they are caressed or kicked, yeah. It's up to themselves.
It's up to themselves, absolutely. Yeah. It is up to themselves. So, I mean, for me it's important to engage into, create a dialogue, to create this move. You know, you said about interesting, to move them, comes from, you know, there's a, it sort of sounds like movement.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that it can create a movement.
Well, actually,
yeah.
you're proposing to do it,
yeah.
Aren't you? Because your project is a big one. Tell us something about your project.
Yeah.
Of course, you will tell it on the festival as well, but now we can hear it
yeah.
beforehand.
No, so I'm working on this project, like you just mentioned, our New Nordic Voices, which is a series of theatre plays that will run for at least 3 to 4 years. And the idea is to juxtapose the works, like already mentioned, of Nordic classics and global classics. Which works are this? This is starting from Ntozake Shange, who's an African-American playwright, juxtaposing her works alongside the Finnish playwright, Mina Kant. Then we also have juxtaposing the works of Wole Soyinka, who was a first Nobel laureate.
So you're finding works with somehow works together in some way on an upper level, you might say. They're from different areas, different...
Yeah.
Written in different parts of the world,
yeah.
But still the issues connect in some way.
You
find a connection.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm actually, I haven't really revealed this one yet, but I'm just going to reveal it here, is that I'm thinking of Julie, and because there's a very strong similarity between the works of Stringbear in this case and the works of Wole Soyinka in his play The Lion and the Jewel. and that will be very interesting to explore with the settings and all that sort of stuff. Then we also have a very interesting playwright by the name of Errol John from Trinidad, and his beautiful play by the name of Moon and Rainbow Shawl. And it'd be interesting to use that alongside one of Ibsen's plays, which is Enemy of the People, actually. So yes, I'm using this kind of upper level, like you've said, known icons from different parts of the Global South, what I like to call it, alongside the Nordic classics. But now again, moving forward, is that, so we started off with the For Colored Girls. And For Colored Girls, the title of the play is actually For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide and the Rainbow is Enough. And that one we play, essentially, has already played in premiered in Helsinki. It's going to play in Copenhagen, Frederiksberg, I should say, sometime in September. And then it's going back to Helsinki by invitation from the Nordic Culture Point. And it's going to play in Stockholm in a festival as well. And I'm hoping by December to play also in Oslo. And that's for me will be the pilot. And then moving forward next year, we'll move with the next set of plays. So this is a 4-year project, and I hope we create a network out of it. I hope we kind of have more dialogues between artists. Also, the other thing is yes, I live in Denmark, but I see myself as living in a region. You know, it should
live in Scandinavia, so
yeah,
to speak.
Exactly, Scandinavia. And I like to say Nordic because just to include and to make sure Finland. Finland for me is an interesting place in many reasons. They have a very rich theatre tradition in Finland. I think they consume more theatre than any other Nordic citizens, in my estimation, and I could be wrong about that. So, but because of the reception we've had in Finland, and because of the very many interesting artists I have met with in Finland, I mean, they have a very interesting cultural center called Kaisa, which is really established and is focused a lot on people of different backgrounds as well, funded and so forth, you know. So they, in that sense, even in Norway, you have a very structural set in place to give voice to people of different backgrounds. You have different theatres, and it's done in policy. Mm. And you have that in Sweden as well. Now the students,
so they are obliged to do it.
In a way, yes, but there is a system in place that if you have an idea and you're from this whatever region, you don't need to explain too much. They have that in Sweden. They've just established the, what's it called? I think it's called the Swedish Black Theatre, whatever it's called. Forgive me. So you have those sort of things. And that's, for me, I find it interesting. I find it interesting. That's one. And number two is, if you create a mobility of artists from these different regions, I think that is interesting. Because something that I've observed while putting up an Enemy of the People, for instance, was that most of these Nordic countries, they really work in isolation. Forgive me for saying that.
With one another or with the rest of the world?
With one another as well. I really.
You can see that.
I thought it was interesting, you know, what happens in Norway is happening in Norway, what's happening in Sweden is happening in Sweden, and nobody really cares what's happening, you know, it's that sort of, so I'm hoping that
Is it a mentality thing, or how do you say it?
I mean, I give an example, when I talk to people who, you know, I think they're well read, and I ask them who is Mina Kant, and they had no idea who Mina Kant was. Now, Mina Kant happens to be just a very interesting...
Nor did I.
Nor did you?
No.
Now, she is the equivalent of Ibsen in Finland, essentially. There's even a Mina Kant today. I mean, she's equivalent Karen Blixen here. She's that big, you know. I mean, everybody talks about her over there. And
but you know, Finland is a foreign country.
Well, it is a foreign country, that's true. But it's still the Nordic region. It's just 2 hours. It's actually quicker to go to Finland than to go to Jutland, some parts of Jutland.
So it's a funny situation that you, originally from Kenya, you would be the one finding gateways between, for instance, Denmark and Finland. Because as you can see from what I say, we don't feel extremely close connected.
Yeah.
We really don't. But Michael, please explain to me, when you say that you are juxtaposing two different playwrights from different parts, different areas, finding the topics and connecting it, what will be seen on the stage?
Well, I'm hoping to perform both. That's the thing. I mean, essentially what we're doing is, like, we have a workshop at first, you know, whereby we invited, like what we did with the Mina Kant and Ntosa Keshange, we invited Ritva Sikala, who is a well-established director in Finland, to give a talk about, you know, the context of Mina Kant. And we invited Shirley Basfield from the States, and who's giving a talk
about... The director,
yeah. Of Ntozake Shange, and with that kind of an intellectual discourse and discussion, of, you know, investigating the historic placements, investigating that both were actually pioneers on different levels, investigating what issues they were dealing with at the time, investigating the context, investigating all those sort of things. When you do that in a workshop setting, then you're able to see, we came up with an idea, it would be interesting to have, you know, a day whereby in the morning, quote, you know, morning, I don't know what time that is, morning you're showing, you know, Minakant, and in the evening you're showing For Colored Girls as a repertoire for a week. So you have actually, you know, different performances, but two of them. So we're not like of taking Minakant and taking Tozaki Shange and then mixing it all up and then saying, wow, here's a new thing. No, pretty much we have a very academic way of looking at it, of just in, looking at the text work, looking at the context, and kind of seeing the similar themes, the similar techniques, similar intentions, and that sort of thing, and similar storylines. Minakant wrote a play, interesting, called The Worker's Wife. And when you take The Worker's Wife, very different name in Finnish, if you take that and you look at For Colored Girls, you'll see that nothing, it's so similar. There's a very interesting similar, they were dealing a lot with alcoholism at the time, you know, in Finland, and she has to write this play in this setting. And then you look at what Tozaki Shange is writing about, it's not so far apart. So yes, it's in, because when I do that, when I'm able to do juxtapose, to study those different contexts, and then we, for me, it sort of brings, it is the umbrella of which brings these two new Nordic voices, people coming in this region to understand what's already here, and people who live in this region to understand what have these people come with. Mm-hmm. Because there's an assumption that me, coming from where I'm coming from, I have no cultural heritage. It's an assumption. I mean, it's not said that way, but it's communicated that way. It's communicated that way because I don't see plays from those part of the world being played here in Denmark. So it's not said like that. It's communicated that way. And we hope to break that stereotype.
Oh, that's the way you interpreted it.
That's how I interpret it. And, you know, and it's not...
It looks that way.
Yeah, it looks that way. But it's not anybody's fault anyway, sorry. Mm. It's not anybody's fault. It's just that it's new. It is new. I mean, we need to look at Denmark and see, like, when was the last... I mean, the first generation... There are only about 40,000 Africans living in Denmark. To start off with, you know, but there's so many plays from the African region or the Caribbean region that have never been done. I'm surprised Wole Soyinka's plays has never been done here, but it's not the system's fault, it's just that these stories have not been told, and we want to tell them. Yeah, I can go on and on. So I don't know if that answered the question, or did I really speak like a politician without answering anything?
No, I think you did, but what is your way? How come that you... Is it the correct phrase to say, end up here?
In Denmark?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that is a long story, but I'll make it brief. I was living in Poland.
Why Poland?
Yeah, why Poland? Why not? I was working there. I was working for a cultural organization in Poland.
Poland has a very rich culture.
Oh, yeah, it has.
The level is very high.
It's true. It is very true.
Might not be anything else, but the cultural level is...
They have a very rich cultural heritage. So I was working there, and previously I lived in Denmark a couple of years ago. I lived in Denmark between 2003 to 2006, but that was in Jylland.
Yeah. You know, but so it doesn't count, or
you know, I'm trying to make it count. It counts in many ways. For me, it was such a long time ago. You know, I was very young at the time, but I had a dream of starting a theatre company in Denmark, and I've always had that dream since then. So the question was, why Denmark or why Poland?
Both, I guess. You started telling about Poland, so
yeah. No, I lived there and met with my wife, and, you know, she's a dramaturg, and she's been studying theatre, and we fell in love because of theatre, and because of each other, hopefully. So, you know, I told her that I have a dream of starting a theatre company in Denmark, and so we decided to move here. So we moved here in a couple of years ago. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. In Ballerup.
In Ballerup. Oh, beautiful place. I love Ballerup.
Beautiful place, yeah.
Yeah, actually, our first two plays were performed in Ballerup at Baltopen.
So that's the secret behind.
Yeah, we performed our first. He was very generous and gracious with Ib Jensen, who's the director of Ballerup. And he really, you know, coached me a lot of the time to understand a few things about the settings also. I mean, there are a lot of people who have come along the way to, like, of, you know, give a helping hand and to teach and to school and to, you know, mentor. I think it's so complex. I think the cultural settings in Denmark is extremely complex.
In what way?
I mean, the structures. I mean, just to do a play, a simple play, you need to plan at least 1 year in advance, you know. I mean, just as simple, it could be a two-man show, you know, and you move. I mean, I think there's a, it's an interesting structure, I see it, you know, with the Royal Theatres up there, and then you have, you know, the Storby Theatre, you have the Lillebue Theatre, you have all this, you know, Eins Theatre, and you have the regional theatres, and I think it's an interesting structure. It's complex to navigate it.
But it seems as if you can navigate in it, because I saw your application and I was very impressed, because you would have a very large network in order to make, it's a big plan involving four countries in four foreign countries, you might say. How have you managed that?
Well, that was in 2018 is when I started mapping this whole thing out. And I've had, you know, I contacted a Udviklings platform, Copenhagen, and they coached me a little bit there, and I met with the former director of Nordic Culture Fund, who was my mentor for quite some time, and to understand these places. And I also got some funding for Opstart from Nordic Culture Fund to sort of travel and, you know, try and identify. But some places I identified them by chance. I mean, to work with Kaisa, which is this big organization in Finland, was by chance, because I actually went to meet with another theatre company, and it was my first time in Finland. This is 2018. I had never been to Finland before. I just knew I wanted to do something in Finland, you know. And when I'm talking to this guy, you know, this other theatre.
Because it was so foreign, or because it was so mentally far away?
Because... No, I didn't, you know, I had already experienced through Enemy of the People, I'd already experienced working with Norwegians and Swedes, you know. But I wanted to explore Finland. I thought there must be something there, surely. I mean, why are we only concentrating on Scandinavia? Let's need to go Nordic. It was just a gut feeling. It was adventurous. But you know what? I have to say this one. That adventurous spirit in me, I have translated it into culture because I'm now settled. Because previously I was just traveling around, I was here.
So now you want some excitement.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I'm settled, I'm like, oh gosh.
So that's happily for us, yeah.
Yeah. So yes, I met this guy, and you know, by chance and coincidence, like, I mean, have you heard of Kaisa? Like, oh, what's that? Then I contacted them, and then, I mean, so it's a build-up, you know. The whole of 2018 was a build-up, going back and forth to Sweden, working in Intercult in Stockholm with Intercult. You know, a lot of dialogue and discussions, you know, and so it's for me, I like meeting with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer meetings. Emails are well and good.
And you're good at it. We met in the center half an hour ago. You gave me a big hug. I think we're good friends. And I was sort of, I got a little bit surprised, because normally it's me giving other people hugs.
Yeah.
And now you actually took my role. And I didn't know how to respond to that, because I said, how have you been? Is it an African thing?
Yeah, to be warm. To some extent, there is, of course, the cultural, you know, disposition about it. But I think that's my personality. I mean, I'm a people person. I like working, and I get so bored when I'm working.
In Denmark, we know we ask people, are you a dog person or a cat person? So now you have a third category.
We know
people
that.
Person.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. Yeah.
It's a people I like, and especially if we're in the same kind of field, and you know, I get excited by that. I hope to start them up as well. Yeah, so that's how I perceive it.
It's a big project you begun. I know for myself, when I do a project, when it's getting halfway through, you start thinking about the next one.
Of course.
Because the excitement is always building up, and whenever it's on the move, you relax in a way. Of course, you still have 2 years to go, but most of it is already planned now. So where do you go from?
Wow, that is a profound question. It's eating me up. I've really wanted to work with the works of Wole Soyinka for quite a long time. And that is really where I'm going now. I want to work with the Wole Soyinka's work. He's still alive. He's in his 80s. And I've been in contact with him.
And he's living where?
He lives in Nigeria. And Wole Soyinka maybe just to give a background, is a Nobel laureate African playwright, one of the pioneers, I'll say, of African playwright literature, that sort of thing, you know. And you have a very interesting play called The Lion, the Jewel.
The Land of the Jewel.
The Lion and the Jewel.
The Lion.
Yeah, The Lion, the Jewel. And I'm looking. That is sort of what I'm looking for next. That is sort of what I'm going to look at with string there without giving too much.
No, of course. You have to save some excitement. So you will try to hunt him down in order to get the rights to do his stuff.
He gave me the rights apparently some time back, but I was unable to get money for the play. Yeah, so I'm in contact with his agents, and he said that he will come to Denmark as long as it's warm. So I'm trying to get, involve the Royal Library and see how we could. I mean, he's one of our greatest. It would be nice to have him here just for a talk. Just start the juxtaposition, start the dialogue, to start it off. You know, he's writing in a period of just post-colonial period. This is just, during the when countries are getting independence in all of Africa. This particular play premiered in 1959.
And what it's about? It sounds very African, the title alone.
Yeah, the title, it's a story about the three main characters. It's a huge cast, actually six characters. It's a story about Baroka, who is the chief of the village, and the story about Lankule, who is a progressive young man who sort of wants to transform the village to become very Western, and the story about Sidi, who is a young girl, and Lankule is in love with Sidi and wants to marry her, but Sidi is not interested in marrying Lankule because Sidi says Lankule must first pay the bride price. And Lankule is thinking that this is a savage custom. For him, it's quite barbaric and it's outdated for him, and he doesn't want to pay the bride price. He wants to be very Western.
What is the bride price?
Bride price is a culture within the African culture. It's a culture within, I think, also the Indian culture, whereby before you get married, you pay dowry, pretty much, she doesn't want to marry him because of that, but the Baroka, who's the chief, who's got several wives, he sort of, wants the girl, and tells his wife, one of his first wives, to go and tell her that he wants to get married to her, but she's not interested. And so he plots, they convince Sidi that Baroka has become impotent. So Sidi gets very interested and says that, then I can go and tease him, So that is sort of the storyline.
But it's a universal story.
It's a universal story, isn't it?
It's not African at all.
it's a comedy, but it brings up a very interesting perspective, especially the time when Africans were making a transition from traditional lifestyle and values to European, Western-influenced cultures. It raises those questions. It raises those questions: was what was right? Was their way of doing things wrong, as opposed to this? And it's sad because she ends up marrying Baroka, even though Baroka actually raped her. And so it would be very interesting to explore some of those plays. Yeah, I mean, I'm not very good at telling the storyline. It's one of my favorite, beautiful. It's got a lot of dancing. It's got almost 12 dances as well.
Well, what got you interested in theatre in the first place?
Wow. Doing theater since I was five. and then when I was, of course, in high school and primary school, writing.
Because you saw other people performing, or because you did it yourself together with your friends, or?
No, both. I was doing it, of course, in school. I was writing plays, I was writing poetry. But then in Nairobi, we used to have a theater company called the Phoenix Players. The Phoenix Players had been there in existence since 1952, and every 3 weeks a brand new production. 1952 until 1983, it was called the Donovan Mao Theatre, and there's an intimate stage of about 120 seating capacity, a thrust stage, and they would produce everything. I mean, you name it, from Chekhov to Strindberg, all the classics with Shakespeare's, but also you do a lot of different interesting things, even from the American canon.
And how would they perform it?
Oh yeah, they were performing. The thing was, it was established mostly by the almost said colonialists. Forgive me. Yeah, it was established by. It was a theater for that time. But then in 1983, there was a Scottish guy by the name of James Falkland, who kind of the company fell down. And he revived it by the name of Phoenix Players, And that is some of my inspirational point of view, because he would work with African actors and of course European actors, and they will put up classics like it is on a very intimate stage, you know. So my first production, where I was in 2002 in this play, was an Italian play by Carlo Goldoni, Servant of Two Masters, and we did it like it's done, you know, like, you know, with the swords, the boots and everything. And that was the exposure we had. We had a rich exposure of European theater. So he did that from like 83 until 2007, and 2006, he passed on in 2007. So for me it was staggering, because every 3 weeks a brand new production with a full set.
Every 3 weeks?
Every 3 weeks.
How's that possible?
Oh yeah, it's very possible. Exactly, that's how it was shocking. This guy, he had a team of about six guys. So one of the guys was...
No women?
Yeah, guys, plural.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the professionals, it was a professional theater company, you know. They would plan productions 2 years in advance, and they knew exactly what they're doing. Because I think it was just management. And you know, we don't have funding in Kenya, so he would do a lot of corporate funds, you know, with companies and stuff. So they managed to do it somehow. It's a miracle for me what they managed. And some of the greatest actors, even Lupita Nyong'o, who was an Oscar winner, you know, she started off at Phoenix Players, and her first play was, you know, Romeo and Juliet. And I remember, actually, it's so funny, I bring her up, because her last play was On the Razzle, Farcical Mayhem in Vienna by Tom Stoppard. And I saw that play, and I remember I was stage management manager for some of the plays, and I kept that photo with me. I always tell that story. I really did. This is 2003, you know. Mm. So when she went to win the Oscars, I showed everybody, said, "See, I know, but I really don't." You know. So yeah. So it was a rich culture, in that sense. But there was also a backlash, you know. There are some people who say, you know, why are we doing all these European plays in Africa? So there was also that, like, why are we not doing our own plays? So they started, over the years, they became more open, and they started, you know, opening up to new writings of African writers and Kenyan writers and so forth. So yes, so my, back to the new Nordic voices, like, of I didn't come just to learn theatre, I have an exposure to it. I've been exposed from the world which I came from, and of course I'm willing to learn what this world has to offer, and I hope that this world can also know that we also have something to bring, you know. So that's for me. So then back to your question, like, of, you know, my interest in theatre, it stems from there. It stems from the
US. So it's a culture mixture.
It's a culture mixture.
Melting pot.
It's a melting pot, but it's influenced a lot by where I'm from, my heritage, because in Kenya...
Identity,
absolutely. Who are you? It's a tough question.
Well, it is, I guess. You know. Most of life is dealing with that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a tough question. You know, I have to say, I think it's very interesting. See, in Kenya, we have 45 tribes. Tribes is what Europeans call nations, right? So we have essentially 45 nations, you know. That by itself is very diverse. It is, and by nations, I mean, by tribes, I mean, any two tribes put together, they don't look alike. They have got different skin complexions. They have got different language, completely different, different eating habits, different music, different everything. So what happened to me was, you know, when my dad passed on in 2017, and I went back to Kenya, and then I went back to Kisumu, which is where people of my tribe are from, and I've not been there since I was a child. And I saw people who look like me everywhere. You know, my complexion, because I'm very dark skinned.
Yeah, you were easy to spot in Belarus, big center.
Yeah, very easy to spot. I cannot hide. I can't just melt in, you know. But it was interesting, because when I saw people who look like me everywhere, my tribe, it's about 6 million of them, right? And then I came back to Denmark, and I saw people who look like each other. So for me, it's like, it's a nation, yes, but it's like, you know, they're very. So for me, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, you know, but what I'm bringing up actually is I had that different background of mix of cultures. And I think that's what some of us are bringing on the table when we come to Denmark or to any other European country. I think if we're able to tap into these new voices, we could really help solve some of this friction that is already at, can't just seem to call some of us. Yeah,
great. Yeah. I'm very proud that you're part of the festival. You are actually part of the closing of the festival.
Yeah. Looking forward. Yeah. So looking forward, yeah.
See you then.
Okay, see you then. Thank you.
darling.